is Tuesday, which means it is time to talk to our guy, Jeff Levering, one of the voices of the Brewers. Catch him on radio right now for this series. Catch him on TV. Jeff, what's going on, bud? How are you doing this morning?
Doing great. Good morning. Nice to be on the winning side of things yet again. The old Brew Crew doing just fine.
Well, and you talked about on the broadcast yesterday, the bottom part of the lineup, and they were successful yesterday, four hits, four runs. It seems like when this offense is humming, it is that bottom part of the lineup. So is the return of Jackson Churio, when it happens, going to be twofold? One, you get one of your best offensive players back because Jackson's that good. But two, it's also going to bump somebody else who's been good down back to the bottom part of that lineup.
It just does. It creates length, right? And I think for guys like Isaac Collins, you get an opportunity for him not to play every single day, which is not a bad thing. He's been playing great. He was the player of the month in July in terms of rookies in the National League. He was awesome. But you can tell that, hey, he might need to play 5 out of 7 days instead of 7 out of 7 days. What Jackson Churio brings at everybody else bumps back down. Like you said, it just fortifies that lineup even more so. He's still a few days away. He's not going to be here tomorrow. It's still a couple of days away before he comes back. But the Brewers have options. They're going to be a better offensive team, if that's hard to believe, when he comes back into that lineup because of how good they've been in the month of August. But certainly the Brewers are going to welcome him back with open arms, and he's closer than folks would think.
Jeff, Brandon Woodruff showing a little emotion during the game last night after a botched play, throwing the ball into the dugout. Is that a good thing? Kind of like a quarterback yelling at a receiver.
For sure. And Woody's always played with that edge. It's, he's from the South, and he's built with some red ass in there, and you got to have some of that, right? You have to pitch with that edge. If you don't think that you're on the top of that mound and dictating your own terms, then what are you doing? You don't need to be taking the mound. And for Brandon Woodruff, I love the way that he pitches. You don't necessarily see all of that emotion all the time from Woody, but when it comes out, you go, okay, all right, no, he's locked in. And they dropped that pop-up in the first inning, and then what happened after that? He retired the next 14 hitters in a row. So it's good to see that old vintage Brandon Woodruff come out from time to time.
Are they going to continue to try to manipulate the rotation to give Woody the rest that they did? You know, bring up Chad Patrick, who pitched well on Sunday, so you can give the extra rest to Woody. Is that something they're going to continue to do for the final 5 weeks?
I think they have to be cautious about it. I think they have to be cautious with Jacob Mizorowski, too. I think both of those guys, you might see shorter starts or at least give them longer rest. I thought during this stretch of 18 straight days, 19 games in 18 days, that they would go to a six-man rotation through the entire way. That way, all those guys just work three times during these 18 days, right? Everybody's working on 6 days rest. They haven't done that to this point. They have given an extra day to Brandon Woodruff and to Mizorowski, who's going to go tonight. But the Brewers will have off days moving forward in September. I think that's a good thing. And it's going to be built in extra days off for everybody as you get into the stretch run. It's better to be safe than not, right? He's only pitched on 4 days rest one time this year. You got to be careful with his innings. You got to be careful with that shoulder.
Okay, speaking of Miz, what is the plan for him? Because he's already thrown the most innings he ever has as a professional. 97 was what he threw last year. He's up over that, the combined AAA and Major League innings. How careful are they going to be? Are there going to be times where he's only throwing 60 pitches so they make sure he's ready for a postseason push? What is their plan for Jacob Mizorowski?
I think this is twofold. I think one, Gabe, you got to make sure he's throwing the ball well. And he has been prone these last two appearances of having that blow up inning, and you got to get away from that. It's a 30 pitch inning. It's a 40 pitch inning against the Cubs last time out. You got to get away from that. You got to throw the ball better. You can't have these little blips of wildness where he just loses it. And then the next batter, the next half inning, he's as dominant as he ever was. You kind of go, well, where was that? Why didn't we just tap into that a couple of seconds ago? So that's number one. He's got to get himself right to where when things are going off kilter, he can get himself back on the tracks. The second part of it, I think innings wise, they're in a good place with him. I know he's over where he was from a year ago. But that's by design.
Yeah. Cause you want
to see that from you. You want to grow that, right? So I think the common knowledge is it's 25% of what you did a year ago. So if you threw 100 innings last year, it's going to be 125 innings this year. You can manipulate that as you move forward. I don't know if they're going to go shorter in terms of starts on him. There's a potential that he just goes into the bullpen and he becomes a super bullpen guy. He becomes that Josh Hader role from 2018 where you can throw him in the third inning or you could throw him into the seventh inning and close a game for you if he's dominating. Those are things that decision-wise, you can make those calls. And it doesn't necessarily have to do with his workload innings-wise. It's got to be about how he is being efficient and how he's working well.
Is that, can that be a rough transition though? Because he's been a starter his entire career. So he has a way that he gets ready, the way starters get ready. Bullpen guys, you got to get ready a little bit quicker. Can that be, would that transition factor into whatever decision they make if he's going to be a starter reliever down the stretch?
Easier transition to go from starter into bullpen than it is from bullpen to starter, in my opinion. So you could, all right, you have your warm-up process, you have whatever you need to do. He's not going to be a guy that you're going to bring in with the bases loaded anyway. He's going to get a clean inning. So you can, if he needs to ramp up a little bit more, he's on the other side of the bullpen. He's getting ready. He's doing what he needs to do to get himself ready for the next half inning while you have that, oh my gosh, guy that's coming in, the Nick Mears, right? With the bases loaded and nobody out, try and get out of it. He's the guy who's going to be coming into that situation, not Mizorowski. So I think that transition is, it would be easier for a guy like Mizorowski.
Jeff, who's the vocal leader or leaders of the team? I mean, we look at Yelly as kind of a soft-spoken. Woody seems like kind of to himself. Who's the vocal leader when they need a little shot in the, you know what?
Yeah, I think that Yelich knows how to lead this team in the best way possible. By example, he can get into somebody if he needs to. Rhys Hoskins was certainly that guy when he was on the roster. And I think that Rhys, even when he comes back in September, maybe the end of this month, he could be that guy again. I feel like Sal Frelick, even though he's still a younger guy, has that mentality to be a vocal leader, even though he hasn't played very long. He could get into somebody if he need to. It's different than in football or in basketball, where you play so many games. It's not built on that emotion as much, right? I mean, yeah, you need to light a fire into somebody if they're really not playing the way you're supposed to be playing, if they're not playing in the program, you know? But at the same time, you don't need to be chewing somebody out because they didn't run a hard 90 unless it's a consistent thing. Those things have a way of working themselves out without dividing the clubhouse.
Is
Because
there a
that is a sacred place, as you know.
fear though, as the playoffs get closer, guys might get tight? Because they say, you know, everyone hears in the NFL that, hey, once the playoffs start, things speed up. Is there an equivalent to that in baseball?
Sure. I mean, the game moves a lot faster in the postseason. Decisions are made a lot faster. You struggle in the first inning, someone's getting ready in the bullpen right now. Right now. If you have a bad at bat or two bad at bats, and matchups don't work out for you, and you're coming out in the fourth inning. So that's decisions happen a lot faster, but I think that the experience that this team got last year, with all the young guys playing in the postseason, they had it in 2023 as rookies against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Now, granted, it didn't work out their way, but that experience for all those guys is critical moving into this season.
Talking with Jeff Levering, as we do each and every Tuesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Looking forward, even beyond this year, what is Aaron Ashby's role going to be? They signed him to that contract. They gave him the extension. He gets injured. And obviously, I think when they signed him to that contract, they wanted him to be a starter. But last night was kind of fun as a reliever. You know, he just come in and be absolutely electric, striking out five guys in an inning and two thirds. Like, what do you think his role beyond this year is going to be?
Yeah, he's pretty filthy, wasn't he?
It
I mean,
was
he's fun to
ridiculous. He
watch.
was
He's
outrageous.
nasty. Like we were talking about it on the broadcast, and it's catcher set up down the middle, and just throw it at the glove, and then I don't know where this pitch is going to go. Right? It's like, it's green throw up emoji every time he throws the ball, because it's gross. I think that I think that they see him as a starter long term because he has the arsenal to be a really good
Yeah, he's
starter.
got a lot of pitches.
But he's so, yeah, he is so valuable though in the role that he is in, to where he could go one inning, he could come in and face two batters and strike two guys out in a critical situation. He could go three innings out of the bullpen. He is so valuable in that way, and he recovers really well. That's the thing. Like when Josh Hader was doing this back in the day, and I'm not making comparisons to those two guys. They're different people. They throw different stuff, but he recovers a lot better than Josh Hader does. When Hader would go out and go more than one inning, he needed 3 days off. For Ashby, if he goes, he went three innings the other day against the Cubs and was getting loose 2 days later. So I think for him, he's just happy throwing the ball well. He is happy being a part of this group. He doesn't have to be a starter. He's just happy being a contributor, and he's a big part of what they're doing down in that bullpen.
Jeff, do you think we're going to see Churio versus Toronto?
Highly possible, but they need to see him get through games. I mean, that's a couple of days away. They need to get him playing nine innings at least 2 straight days. You have to. Because it's not like, okay, well, he can come back up and he's going to be in there for 5 innings and then we're going to take him out. You want him playing virtually every single day, and he's got to be able to trust that that hamstring's going to hold up. So if it's not Toronto, I would say he's back more than likely Labor Day.
Is Abner Uribe going to cause a fight one day? The way he prances
Didn't he
around.
already?
I mean, that's true. That might be true. I love it, Jeff, but I can just see how he does it after the wrong guy, and tempers are going to flare a little bit with him prancing around. It was the thought that went through my mind on Sunday when he went off the field after closing out the eighth, and then he did the same thing last night after closing out the game.
Yeah, it's he's done something a little different. Like last year when he was closing games out, he would do the pistol thing and put it in the holster. And then he added some new, it feels like he was adding something new to the celebration every appearance. He'd go to the holster and then he'd hit his chest and he'd look up at the sky and then he'd do all these other things with his hands. And then he just started the strut and the prance recently. And he looks like the scarecrow. He's just kind of like nimbly bimbly. I had no bones in my arms. I'm just kind of flopping around. He's so athletic. He's so freaky
The
the way that
play
he
he
looks.
made, yeah, well, the play that he
It's
made to close out the game last night is outrageous. He made it look
nobody,
easy, but I don't know of any other pitcher who's making that play.
no chance, no chance. I mean, he's falling off on the first base side. He's got to reverse and go back towards second base. He makes the play over his shoulder. He's turning and then he throws a little shovel pass over to first base. It's the most athletic play you'll ever see, that no other pitcher in Major League Baseball makes. I think that the wrong per if he does that to Wilson Contreras, that's probably not going to sit well. Probably not going to sit well.
Well,
I mean, you saw what
I
happened
was
last
about
year
to
with
say,
Jose Siri and the Tampa Bay Rays.
well, they
So, I
got
mean,
Philly
it's
coming to
okay.
town, so if it's going to go down.
Well, I was about to say, Wilson got himself in a little bit of trouble last night, too. So,
Yeah, he did.
it could be a suspension coming after he threw his bat.
At his own coach.
Well, I
Is
mean,
that wrong?
I think it hit his own coach. I don't know if it was
Yeah.
intended for to hit his own coach. I think is the problem with Wilson.
Correct. Yeah.
That kind of becomes the issue there. But how nice is it to have when you have your closer throw 30, what was it, 32, 34 pitches on Sunday, so he's unavailable. You just can turn to Abner Uribe and he can close out a game in 11 pitches.
I mean, the Brewers have been so lucky in this aspect for the last decade, right?
Yeah.
Think about the guys that have been in that back end of the bullpen. If it wasn't Knebel available for you, then you had Hader or Jeremy Jeffress closing the ball game out, and they traded for Joaquin Soria, who's got a ton of saves over the course of his career. That was the 18 team. Then it was Hader and Williams, and then it turned into Williams and McGill, and now you've got Koenig who can close games out for you. Mears has a save. You feel comfortable, of course, with Abner Uribe picking up saves. You could have Aaron Ashby throw 3 innings to finish out a ball game for you if you needed to. There's a lot of confidence in that back end of the bullpen to get those final three outs. But it's all about the culture that they have created out there in the bullpen, knowing that those guys can go in there and get the job done when they need to. But yeah, it doesn't hurt to have a guy like Abner Uribe pumping in 90 mile an hour sliders and 101 mile an hour bowling ball fastballs as your setup guy.
Jeff, always appreciate the time, man. Look forward to talking to you next week. Hopefully the lead just continues to grow over the Cubs from here on out.
You got it. Take care, guys. Have a good one.
Jeff Levering joins us each and every Tuesday right here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Always great to catch up with him. Do want to tell you about Mentality, because it doesn't matter what age you are. Low testosterone can be an issue for any guy. That's why I've been telling you about Mentality. I'm hoping you start to listen. Go to the website, mentalityhealth.com/radio. And there you can learn more about their testosterone process. You can book your appointment where you can meet with them. Go through the process. Get a blood panel done. If your testosterone levels are low, then you can start their treatment plan with them. And it's not one size fits all. It is a custom testosterone treatment plan just for you. You go back every 12, 13 weeks, make sure that your levels are where they need to be. If not, they'll adjust it. If it has to be higher, if it has to be lower. They want to make sure you are feeling and performing at your very best. Increase strength, shake fatigue, sleep better, lose weight with Mentality. Just go to mentalityhealth.com/radio, as Mentality allows treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. Learn more about Mentality and their low testosterone treatments. mentalityhealth.com/radio.